Welcome back to the Mike Carra Radio Show, Eye in the Community, here in the Woodridge Public Library. Definitely have our eye in the community. As my guests today are members from the band 1969. And guys, we've been talking all about the great music you play and such. And now we want to talk about the equipment, because obviously equipment is a big part of what you do. And we want to find out if a lot of the equipment is vintage, or, you know, what you play then with in the band.
Well, I'll let Phil start, and then I'll take up after him.
Yeah, we can kind of go through it. For me personally, I used to carry a real piano and a Hammond organ and a Leslie back in the day. So we don't do that anymore. I have electronic keyboards that emulate all of those instruments, and they do it very accurately nowadays. So we can use those type of things. I also have a MIDI rig, so I can cover some parts that would not normally be there, horn parts, string parts, even a second guitar part in some cases, acoustic guitar parts. So that's kind of interesting that we can emulate all of those sounds without, for me personally, without going back to the original gear.
Right. I'm a gear collector. I learned a long time ago not to let go of things. So I have rooms full of stuff. And I've typically, almost up until this year, actually, we're using mostly vintage amps, that type of setup. But I've recently had a builder build me something that kind of does everything for me. I'm using a Gabriel amp product right now, and it's called a Voxer. It's a really, really neat piece of equipment. And I'm also occasionally employing a MIDI guitar. So I can run that through the PA and do horn parts, string parts, sitar parts, which kind of works really good for the music for the period. So there's plenty of stuff happening on stage between the keyboards and guitar. And Scott, I know you've got a pretty interesting setup yourself.
Well, my drums, for years I played Ludwig, but I've got a new Thomas, but I still use my old 15-inch John Bonham hi-hats, which I really enjoy. They're hard to come by, and they've got a great sound to them, and that's what I enjoy playing.
And our bass player recently bought, I think it was a reissue, SVT rig. So he's carrying something that's just as big and bad as we did back in the day.
It's the refrigerator. It definitely is. And nobody will help him move the thing. You know, so he said you could get whatever you want, but you're on your own. So, but again, that's all a big part of the sound too. And again, I have to say, I shameless plug for my builder, Gabriel Products, fantastic amp, and I'd recommend it to anyone.
Right, Dan. One thing we do want to point out is, although Kevin, you, like you said, you work the MIDI guitars, and you have the different things, but you're actually playing them. And what we find in bands sometimes is that there's maybe three or four people, but then the rest is computers. But what is neat is that all you guys are playing instruments. Scott, you're playing drums. Kevin, you have guitars, and Phil, actually keyboards and Hammond organs and things. So it's all live, and it's all done by people then.
It's all live. It's just, we just employ the technology to get the sound textures and the tones. But we're definitely playing every note. And as a matter of fact, the music that's available on our web, we're going to drop you a CD as well here, Mike, is pretty much live in the studio. There aren't any overdubs, really. It's what you hear is what you get with us.
Right. And now I'd like to talk, because I, you know, have this thing about girls and rock and roll, and I really enjoy the female aspect of that. And I understand that you have a female front person that does some of the songs. If you could talk about the different female songs you cover and the whole female era in that era.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, in terms of the pure rock stuff from Woodstock, there weren't that many female artists that performed there. But of course, we do Jefferson Airplane, and we do Janis Joplin, because they both were featured there. But in addition, we started doing some more Motown in the set from the same era. So we do Aretha Franklin, for instance. We have a Sly and Family Stone little set with that, because we had female singers there. A band called Smith from back in the day, who did a song,
Baby It's You.
It was covered by the Beatles and a bunch of other acts, actually. So we found out that we could flesh out going beyond just Woodstock, which was the primary thing we do. But by going beyond that, we're able to bring in a lot more female tunes.
We do a real interesting blend. We start off, we do the Joni Mitchell Woodstock version, if you're familiar with that. It's the piano, and we do a sitar and piano thing and with the female vocalist, and that goes right into the Crosby, Stills, and Nash version, which everybody's familiar with, too. So it's kind of a neat build-up. So we employ both vocalists, obviously, all vocalists on the last one. But it starts out with the female and then it goes into the male vocal one.
And we really should talk about vocals because it was a big part of what was going on in the 60s. It was kind of this from where the Beatles harmonies were. And the music becoming heavier instrumentally, but trying to keep some of the vocals. So when you do a Crosby, Stills, Nash tune, for instance, you've got to cover some high parts that normally guys don't cover, guys singers don't cover, Graham Nash parts. So it's nice having a female in the band to jump on there and do some of those higher parts that we would not normally be able to cover.
Absolutely.
If it was an all-male band.
Right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the interaction with the crowd and, you know, how many requests you get. And if you take requests, I doubt if somebody in the audience shouts, Freebird, 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 you're going to oblige there. But I'm sure there is some songs that are requested and you do perform then.
It happens every once in a while. For the most part, the set is the set. We'll try to accommodate if we can. But we really plan our sets pretty much from start to finish. There really isn't any downtime. We have been brought back for an encore or two and tried to accommodate every once in a while. But for the most part, the set is a show. We're not so much of a band where people just throw requests up there and we do them. It's kind of a set show with very little breaks in between songs.
But although we don't do them necessarily in that show, we do have a list of songs that people have asked for, and sometimes they make them in the subsequent shows. You know, people have good ideas about what they want to hear, and, you know, we figure, well, if somebody wants to hear that in a show, somebody else down the road will want to hear that for sure. And so we'll, over this next winter, we've had the show kind of designed for this summer season. We'll break the show down, we'll move some things in and out, and we'll develop some more pieces. And some of that will be based upon, the fans' requests.
Right. And now I'm kind of just curious. Now, as far as your show, you know, a lot of great music. Now, do you use any costumes or any lights or anything like that? Or is it more just about the music?
Well, our wardrobing is a big part of it. We've taken great pains to try and emulate the visual of the period as well. We went out and hired a seamstress and her team to do our outfits for us. Turned out to be not a very good experience because some of it didn't quite come out the way we planned, but we definitely dress for the image. I think that the one thing that we said at one point was, let's just wear whatever looks appropriate and natural, not like we threw something on to look like we came from that period. Does it fit you? Is it comfortable? Is it appropriate? And does it match with everybody else that's on stage? Personally, I've gone out and done most of my hunting in vintage stores and even on eBay and bought pieces from the 60s, the long fringe vests, that type of thing. So most of what I wear is, in particular, is authentic. You know, and apparently I've got a lot of it because I've got closet space. I have no closet space left, so I must have been acquiring more than I need. But as far as lighting, that really varies from show to show. Well, most of our shows come with the built-in stages and lighting, the festivals and things of that nature. When we do corporate events, though, we do structure it for the event. We did a flashback event for,
Silvercross Hospital.
Yeah. And it was, like a flower power theme. They did the 60s theme and we ramped up for it. We had the appropriate lighting effects and that type of thing. So our React is toolable. It's scalable for the event.
And yeah, Kevin, that was actually going to be my next question, but we could expand a little upon it. And it was that, do you do theme shows? Do you do like 60s flashbacks, as you were mentioning? Obviously, you did there, but do you find yourself doing any other kind of shows with a 60s flashback theme?
We have, and we've also are in discussion with a few folks now about some reunions coming up for next year. You know, I think it's noteworthy to mention that next year is the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. And right now we're sort of ramping up and gearing up for that push. There's a lot of class reunions from the era where we're getting some hits now and some inquiries about getting us booked for next year. So we're definitely tooling the act in that direction. But again, we're very scalable. We can go in a lot of different directions. The theme party we did for Silver Cross, which was a huge success, by the way, was specifically targeted for that what they wanted to happen. And actually, they loved it. We still have a blurb from their promoter.
Planner,
yeah. Their planner on our website. They thought it was one of the best events they had in 30 years. So we were quite proud of that.
And if the Woodridge class of 1969 wants to contact us for next year's reunion, we'd be very much open to that.
Okay, guys. That sounds great. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back for our last segment. You're listening to the Mike Kira Radio Show, Eye on the Community, here in the Woodridge Public Library. My guests are members from the band 1969, and please stay with us.